learning tonight, being sponsored, L'Refu Shleima, for Na'ava Gabriella Bas Naomi Tova. It's a young baby who needs a big refuah. So, Bez Hashem, all this learning, all the chizik, all the zoris should be a big schluss for her refuah, for Na'ava Gabriella Bas Naomi Tova. And we should have her in our tefillos, Meretz Hashem, she should have a big refuah, B'soch Shar Chayil Yisrael, Makar of Mamish. Also, just sadly, just literally moments before Shir, received terrible news that Mishpacha, very, very close to the Goldsmiths. So, sadly, Ari Goldsmith lost his mother literally moments ago. Sammy and Maury and Jacob and Kayla and Gavi, their grandmother. So also all the learning should be Leil Nishmasa, Nechama Bas Mordechai, should have a big tzchus to learn totally Nishmasa, literally moments as she's leaving this world. Hashem should be a big tzchus for Nishama, should be made Litzuyoshe for a very special Mishpacha until Rezoichet Tzchis Amesim, Karav Mamish to be dancing together with Bias Mashiach.
Amen.
I don't recall where the city was. There's a city in Europe. There's a shul. Apparently Rav Yeager, the Shiva of Shayashiv, he says this over every year, this time of the year. There's a shul in Europe that every single Mavarech in Chaydesh, when they were Mavarech, the new month, so they'd use Nigunim from that month. So for example, the Mavarech in Chaydesh Kislev, they'd maybe sing it to Ma'asur. And Mavarech in Chaydesh Adar, Tzavada, Mishnechus Adar, Ma'arba B'simcha, whatever, Hamev in Yavin, whatever the month was. So they'd use the special days in that month as the song of the month to already be exciting, get started for the Koyach of that month. So what would come along when the Mavarech in Chaydesh Mar Cheshvin? As we were Mavarchin last Shabbos Kodesh, and we had Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and Aleph Cheshvan was already this Wednesday, and we just entered into moments ago Gimel Cheshvan, which is the Yahrzeit of Chacham Avad Yosef, Zeichat Adi Kaj Vracha, Shalom Shem Eliyah, Bibeza Hashem, Shabbi Melech Joshua for all of us. So what would they sing? What tune? What niggin? We know Mar Cheshvin is called Mar Cheshvin because the month is void of Yom Tovim. There are no Yom Tovim. There are no special days. Okay, it happens to be my birthday's in Cheshvin, so I don't know, maybe. I don't know what they'd sing for that. You'd say in Cheshvin, right? Same day the Mabel began. Whatever that means.
Long of time.
Although there, right, there are many, many who explain there was supposed to be Kabbal Zatoyer. Trying to be attacking that. L'maisa, so apparently what they would sing on Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvin, they'd sing the tune of learning a black Gemara. They'd sing the niggin of how one would learn a Torah. That's what they would sing, Mavarech in Chodesh Cheshvin. If whoever recalls what we spoke about last week, of the long, cold winter nights, and what the Avodah is after Tishrei, ending, culminating in Simchas Torah, that is the new Zman of Chayrus Man, and the Zman of Amelus B'Torah, and therefore Vada, that's what they were saying, that's what the month is for, to revitalize our Talmud Torah, our Liman Torah, our Amelus B'Torah, Bez Hashem, it should be a chizik for each and every one of us. So let's learn Torah. So if we look back at the very end, the last pasuk of last week's parsha, we find the introduction of Noach. And Noach is born, and the pasuk says, "V'Noach matzah chen b'nei Hashem." That Noach found chen, favor, charm, in the eyes of Hashem. Which surely that chen that we found in the eyes of Hashem was the prerequisite to ultimately. Now we begin Parshas Noach, this upcoming parsha, and because of that, he literally saved the entire world. The whole world was put in his hands. Because he was Matzah Chaim Bein Hashem. That's how the parasha leads off, obviously, to tell us that that's who's going to be the savior of the world. And the question is, where did this Chaim come from? What Chaim was there? What did he do that brought Chaim? We don't find in the psukim itself, any mention of what Noach did that was so special in the eyes of Hashem, that found favor in the eyes of Hashem. So I saw amazing Torah from Rav Shor that I want to develop tonight to understand where this chayin came from. And this chayin that gave Noach the ability to save the world surely also gave him the ability to be above the tzviva, the environment that he was in. He was in this terrible environment of people who were mamish bali taiva, the highest of levels that we read in the Chazal, in the Medrashim, where that Dor HaMabel fell to, that the world needed to be destroyed. The pritzus of that Dor, the sheker of that Dor, as they were mamish already drowning in the Mayim Zedonim, in the waters of Tanug Chitzoini, in the most terrible of ways. So obviously that chayin also somehow kept him afloat, kept him away from that, which is the chayin that each and every one of us needs. That each and every one of us, we live in that door again, sorry to say. We live in a door that's steeped in taiva and pritzas. If we, lo aleinu, we shouldn't do it, but if we opened up any type of newspaper or magazine or chas v'shom or TV or whatever it might be, what are we going to see? We're just going to see pritzas. That's all that the world is surrounded with. It's mamish scary. You know, as bad as it was in Noah's days, they didn't have smartphones then, you know? Mamish, the way people are falling today into Shol Tacht is the lowest of low. So we definitely need whatever it was that gave Noach this chayin and kept him away from all of that and above all of that. We need to understand it because each and every one of us needs the same koach and that same chayin b'nei Hashem. So where does this chayin come from? So you know, there's a Mishnah in Baba Metzia, famous, and we paskin this in Shulchan Aruch as well, in the beginning of Perek Hazov. Beginning of Perek Hazov, I don't learn Baba Metzia now. Are you learning? You learn Baba Metzia now, right? I'm just learning Baba Metzia. You learning Hazov at all? No. You'll get there. It's difficult, but tremendous, tremendous parak. And it's discussing in Perek Hazov how to be kona things and when the kinyan is a good kinyan. And basically what comes out is that, let's say you're making a purchase. So halachically, once the object you were makabel, the buyer takes the object, so the kinyan is chal, and then you still owe the money, even if you didn't pay the money yet. But the object, the kinyan is chal. But if you only paid the money and you didn't yet take the object, so if we went that way, the kinyan's not really halachically completely chal yet. That being said, it's obviously appropriate and proper once you made the deal and you already makabel the money to still go and give the object and not retract and not be choser on the deal, right? And the Mishnah says someone who takes money already and then says give back the money without giving the object, even though, again, on a purely halachic level, that might be permissible, but we don't like that. You're still over on your word. You went against, you made a deal. You still didn't keep your word. You didn't keep emes. And therefore, the way the Mishnah says here, but I'll read it from the Bar Tanura, because he brings in the way that it's brought down in Chazal a little bit later out of the Mishnah. Misha para midor hamabo, umidor haflaga, umi anche sedom v'amora. The one who punished, who repaid, listen to these doros, the Dor HaMaba, our parsha, the Dor HaFlaga, also our parsha, Sodom Vamora and Parsha Vayera, and the Mitzrim, who all drowned. So mamish, the worst of doros, that were punished in the worst of ways, destruction of the world, dispersion throughout the world, again destruction of Sodom Vamora, all the mitzvah drowning by Yom, that, meaning the Avishter who did all that, who asav li para maybe she'eno omen bidiburo. In the future, he'll pay you back someone that doesn't stand by their word. Ultimately, you didn't stand by your word. So it's not a good thing, even if you took the money already, to give back the money. It sounds pretty bad. But what's going on, misha para, specifically from all these doiros? The one who punished all these doiros, that's going to be your punishment because you didn't keep your word. What's going on here? So he'll give him the go in the Gra. He says in the Daras Eliyahu, I speak some deeper in Yanim tonight, but we'll bring it down to earth here, are you here tonight? You said you want to learn deeper in Yanim. Listen to these. The Sefer Yetzira explains that there are three Yesodos that are the source of all Oinchim, that all punishments. Anything that's going to come, that's going to punish a Makom, it's going to come from three Yesodos. What are those? Eish, Mayim, and Ruach. Right? You have fire, the destruction of fire. Lo'alena, we saw a terrible tragedy in Eretz Yisrael a few days ago with a terrible fire and two little children who were killed in the fire. What kind of Oinchim can come from fire? You have Mayim, and we saw as well, Mamish, just within the last few days, we saw all of this, right? Anyone who saw on the news a little bit of what went on in what they call the panhandle of Florida and the Hurricane Michael, Mamish, the way water and wind, so Mayim and Ruach, destruction of Mayim and Ruach, that we hear also had here just not so long ago, we all remember very clearly Hurricane Sandy, which is the combination of Mayim and Ruach. And the destruction and the oinchim that come from that. So the Gra explains, based on that, that we see this was also the source of the oinchim of Dor HaMabel, Dor HaFlaga, Dor Stoma, Mitzrayim. Dor HaMabel was obviously Mayim, as the Mayim Tanugim were destroyed by the Mayim of oinchim. The water was destructive. Dor HaFlaga, that door that tried to come and fight with Hashem, whatever that exactly means, at the end of our pasture, is dispersed throughout the world. That's Ruach. That's a simon of Ruach, wind dispersing. Sodom v'Amora were destroyed through Eish, through fire. And then he explains, when it came to Mitzrayim, and you go through the Makos, you find all of these kochos, all of these bechinas. By Dom and Tzvardeya, it's Mayim. You have already by Arba, when the locusts come, it's Ruach. By Barad, you have a combination of all three. Barad, right? By the hail, it was that formed through Mayim. There was Eish inside and the Ruach brought it. That's why by Barad, the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, if you look in Parshas Bo, in Perek Tes, the Pasuk says by Barad, Pasuk Yedalad, Ki bapam azos ani sholech es kol magefosai. This time I'm going to bring all of my magefos, all of my plagues, because within Barad was all the koiches of Oinchim, which is Eish, Mayim, and Ruach, all together. And why is that? Why are these the three koiches that bring Oinchim? Because man is made up from these three koiches. There's really a fourth as well, but that fourth is so still, and what makes up man are Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar. Obviously, it's very Kabbalistic and deep. But that's within each and every one of us. The makeup of us are these kochos. And when we mess up in different areas, they're connected, these kochos that we have Oinchim of. So comes along the Vilna Gaon and he explains, you know what it means? That because when you mess up as Hazov, as we say over here, as we say, the Misha Einshoy, whoever was Einish by, where is it over here? Second. I got the place over here. The Mishnah says, Misha Paro Me'anshe Dor Mabel Dor Flagu Hu Asu Leparo Misheno Oimed Bidiburo. Someone who doesn't keep his word, who messes up with his peh, with his mouth, with his lashon, who's not speaking words of sheker, he deserves this punishment of what? Dor HaMabel, Dor HaFlaga, Dor Sodom v'Amora, and Dor Mitzrayim, meaning someone who messes up in his word deserves it all. Why? So the Gra explains, Dibur, when we speak, it has all three of these kolchos in it. Anyone who speaks, when you speak, it has Eish, Mayim, and Ruach. Now just to understand that very simply, meaning in our, the way we could understand what that means. Every time you speak, we know that the liquid in your mouth, the saliva of your mouth plays a role, that's Mayim. And then there's the hevel of the mouth, what's the English word for hevel? The breath of the mouth, and that where's the breath is a ruach, you feel it, but it's also, right, our breath is warm. There's an eish, right? There's an eish, When someone's outside and it's freezing cold, what do? You breathe on your hands. You have an Eish, you have Ruach, and you have Mayim. Every time you speak, Dibur is a combination of all three. So comes along the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, and he explains, someone She'eino Ome B'Diburo, someone who doesn't speak appropriately and properly, someone who said he's going to do something with his mouth and didn't keep it, he didn't Ome B'Diburo, he spoke Sheker ultimately, so that someone deserves Ala Onshim. He deserves the Oichim of Dar HaMabel, Dar HaFlaga, Dar Sodom HaMorah, Dar Mitzrayim. Because he messed up with Eish, Mayim, and Ruach. He deserves it all. We understand here, Mamish, the Koach of Dibur. The Koach of Dibur, of our speech. You know, the Maral explains that speech is the most holy, the most special, to what literally separates us from animals. Right? We have different levels of this world. We have that which is Doimim, that which is an inanimate object, that which is someach, the flower life, the plant life is alive on some level. Then you have that which is chai, that which is alive, more so, which is animal life, and you have a medaber, someone who speaks. It's what separates us from an animal. So if you're not speaking properly, or not speaking words of emes, we're taking that koach, we're lower than an animal. Dibur is our koach that we have. And when we mess up in Dibur, we deserve Ala Oinshin. The truth is, the Sefer Yetzirah explains that there are two brisos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Klal Yisrael, with our lashon, with our mouth, with our speech, and with our bris milah. With our bris milah. In fact, by the way, milah is Gematria 85, which is exactly Gematria Peh, our mouth. Our mouth and our Mila have the same exact Gematria. Mila and Peh have the same Gematria. Those are the two Brisos. What does it mean that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Bris with us? He made a covenant with us. He made a treaty with us. What does that mean? It's meaning Hashem says, those are the places that I need you to be connected to me most. Those are the places that we're going to show how connected we are with each other. When we have Shmiras HaBris in the proper way, and we don't mess up with our bris, and we have shmiras hapeh. What does it mean to have shmiras hapeh? It means I speak appropriately, with proper lashon, b'kedusha, and chas v'shalom ever use words that are inappropriate. It means that every word of mouth is emes. I never chas v'shalom would not keep my word. I would never not omei b'diburo, as we just learned. It means that I think about how I speak as far as lashon hara goes, as far as making people feel good, as far as using my mouth for Torah and for tefillah, there's so much that it encompasses. But the emes is, if these are our two brisos, which are so important to the Rabban Shalom, which could keep us on a level of Kedusha in the Rabban Shalom's eyes, the emes is, and we understand, many speak about that, they're taloi zebizah, they're dependent on each other. The emes is, listen, the taiva, when it comes to Shemiras HaBris, is very, very strong. Naturally, it's very, very strong. Naturally, each and every one of us, whether we're open and admit it or not admit it, it's a strong temptation and something very, very real and very much a part of every single one of us. And we know there's obviously, if that's true, there's good within it as well. We know, as Chazal teach us, when they wanted to obliterate and be mevatel the taiva for Arias, when they were mevatel the taiva for Avodah Zarah, what happened? Then even the chicken stopped laying eggs. And we need this taiva to exist. It could be utilized and elevated to the most holy of things, the first mitzvah in the Torah that we had from last week's parasha, Puruvu. But within that, Zelu Mazev, it could be the holiest of acts, it could also be the lowest of acts. And it's a very difficult taiva. Very, very difficult. So how can we work on Shmir Sabris? One of the ways is Shmir Sapeh. They're totally Zabazev. If I have shmiras hapeh, and I watch what I talk about, I watch how I speak, and I'm emesnik in my speech, it's going to give me kochos and shmiras habris as well. They're toloi zebzeh. I can work on the way I talk, and work on having, even I'm with people and they're talking about things that are inappropriate, I have to leave, I can't be there, I can't, chas v'shalom, take part in that speech. It's going to have an effect. It's going to have an effect. What I'm lamaisa, Baruch Hashem, most of us were trying our best to surround ourselves by people that only talk Mikdush V'tahara in yeshiva. But lamaisa, there are times in our life we have to be, when we're in college and we're in school, or we're going to one day be in a job and we're with people that are not speaking so appropriately. We have to make sure I'm not part of that. I never would bring myself Chas V'Shalom to speak a word that's not right, that's inappropriate, to lower myself, because I have to realize that's where my bris with the Rabbanu Shalom is. That's my kedusha as a ben Torah, and my tshmita bris is dependent on it as well. They're totally zebzeb. Mila and Per, the same gematria. Mila and Per, the same gematria. I was reading recently, I just came upon a study by a psychologist, a behavioral psychologist, and they did a study, the title of this article is How to Say No, Resist Temptation, and Stick to Your Health Goals. But again, resist temptation, how to say no. And they did this whole research study where 120 students were broken up into groups. And one was told to say about something, whatever the temptation was, whatever their temptations in their world, I don't know. But say, I can't do it. I can't let myself do it. I can't. Let's say eating ice cream. I can't eat ice cream. I can't. And one was, I don't eat ice cream. I don't. And they had to come in, and then after practicing this for a while, whatever it was, they had to come in and answer some survey, whatever. And as they walked out, they were offered a nice treat, which they were, what they were trying to work on, not wanting to have a pardon, like a candy bar. And it was amazing. He said, the ones that said, I can't, most of them still took it. The ones that said, I don't do it, wouldn't take it. Okay? The ones that said, I don't. The whole article goes on to explain, basically, how our words and what we say has an effect on how we think. An effect on how we do. I can't, means I can't do it. I'm allowed to. Meaning my body, I'm able to. I just right now can't. So you go against that, and your temptation will override that. We'll go above it. We'll override it. I don't do it no matter what. I don't, that's not who I am. I don't do this. Not I can't, I know I can. Let's be real, I know I really can. I don't do this. It's not who I am. And just saying that had an effect. And they did many studies, I'm not going to go through right now, similar to this, and the effects time and time again were the difference. And he says as follows, the words that you use not only help you to make better choices on an individual basis, but also make it easier to stay on track with your long-term goals. That our words have an effect, just what we say has an effect on who we are. What we say has an effect on who we are. I know this study was specifically in that area, trying to train yourself not to do. But our words play a big role in who we are. And have an effect on our taivas. He ends with such a tremendous line. To put it simply, you can either be the victim of your words or the architect of them. You can either be the victim of your words or the architect of them. Which one would you prefer? And what he's saying is, Mamish, ultimately, how strongly our words affect us. How strongly who we are affects us, how we're talking affects us, and affects our taivas. Mitzil Sharon, when he's talking about in Parakeh, he's talking about tzchok for Kalas Rosh, about just being joking around and being lax. When I was in Eretz Yisrael this past trip a few weeks ago for Yom Kippur, one of my talmidim, a true ben Torah, amazing guy, almal ben Torah, mamish heilige yid, someone who I love and I believe has that same chen that we're learning about, which we didn't even answer yet, but we'll get there. We're getting there. I'm sure you can see, but. So he asked me something. He says he learns, he davens, he's working on Shavish, and I'm working on everything. Unbelievable. He likes to joke around a lot. Likes to joke around with people a lot, and that's very much a part of his personality. And we're talking about, if that's okay and if that could be part of his personality. Obviously, it depends how much and depends in what way. I'm not going to answer what we discussed then, but tzchok v'latzon, being a latz, being a jokester, is something that could be very negative. Because our words, even if we're just joking around, has an effect on who we are. And you could be a partisan and talk about something, that's not who I am, I'm just talking about it now. No, that affects you if I talk about it. The Mishnah Navos that the Mesil Sharm quotes, Schok V'Kalas Rosh, Margilim Es Adam La'erva. When you just joke around and you talk about things, you're not even talking about those things. Just joking around, talking a lot, being very lax in your words. It will accustom you to end up in a situation of arayas. In a place of temptation, in the worst of places. Even though it's something that in general should be so machmir, because when you talk in that way and you let your whole essence be a joke, in a certain sense. And surely if you're going to allow yourself to talk about those type of things, and surely if we don't keep our dibur in the proper way, and we become people that are sheker, that use your mouth and don't speak words that are honest and sincere. So once you speak in a sheker way, you can live in a sheker way. And I don't have to live up to who I know I should be. And therefore our shmiras, our bris, is very dependent on our shmiras halashon. On the way that we speak. On how we speak. Rav Shor brought a tremendous Torah from the Sefer Or Tzvi. I tried to do some research to understand that. I've never seen the Sefer Or Tzvi. Did a little research. What I came out with, it seems that it's Rav Tzvi Hirsch Orenstein. I'll tell you, the Hakdamas that I found in that Sefer are like of the biggest of tzaddikim. Incredible stuff. But I don't know much about him. He seemed to live in the mid to late 1800s. But he says this Rem is mamish incredible. He says also from Sefer Yetzira that there's some bris on a level between us and Hashem, besides for with our mouth and with our mila, which is definitely true, those two brisos, but also with our 10 fingers and our 10 toes. Now I was thinking about what that means, and I thought it actually makes a lot of sense. If you take together our basically our mouth, our erva, our 10 fingers, our 10 toes, that's basically how we do everything in the world. Those are everything the source of all of our meisim. And that's how we connect to Hashem. That's where the bris is with the Rabbonu Shalom. So he says like this. If you add up the 10 fingers and 10 toes with the pen, with our erva, with our mila, so it ends up being 22. So we see that the brisos we have, the connection we have to the Rabbonu Shalom is connected to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which is therefore through our learning and through our davening, when we use the words of the Aleph Beis, the letters of the Aleph Beis, we elevate all the areas of our life, and makadish every area of our life. Those are the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, connected to these 22 parts of the body. But he says, if you go through it, if we go through our body, we could understand exactly which part is connected to which letter. So you start with, he says like this. He says, you start with the toes. So you have 1 foot of toe, Aleph, Bez, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. So you went through 1 foot of your toes, right? Now you're in the middle, it's the Mila. I mean, you're going through 1 foot of toes, and then you hit the Mila. So the Mila is connected to Vav. The Mila is connected to Vav. Which makes a lot of sense. Why Vav? Vav is the letter that most represents, in a certain sense, the Eivishter. Vav is straight. Vav is Yashar. Pi Kabbalah, we see this all the time. Kushta, Vav is the letter that's Kushta, it's truth. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chasimasto Shal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his signature is Emes. The Vav represents Emes, is Kushta. And when you have Shemir Sabris, then you're one with that. You're as true as could be. When you don't, you're Sheker. And that's the Vav. Okay, then keep on going. The next 5 toes, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, Kaf. Then we get to the fingers. Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin. What's the mouth? Of course, Pei. How awesome is that? Right? Your Pei. So the mouth is Pei, and then you end Tzadi, Kuf, Rei, Shin, Tov. So the Pei is the Pei. The Vav is the Kushta, is the Bris Vila. Unbelievable. You can't make that up. It's mamish incredible. You put it together, right? The Pei Vav is Gematria 86, which is Gematria Elokim. Because when you have Kedushas HaBris and Kedushas HaPeh, you do away with Elokim, meaning you don't need any din in the world. You don't need any judgment. You want to deal with having any din, you have to have Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris. But we're saying tonight, where do you have Kedushas HaBris, which is so difficult to work on? We have a way to work on it. Kedushas HaPeh. Kedushas HaPeh. Mamish, you open up the Medrash at the beginning of this parasha, Medrash Rabbah, and you find the Medrash Rabba says in Lamed Beis Yud Aleph, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach to go to the Teva, Yomer Hashem LeNoach, Bo Atav Echol Beis Chal Teva. What to quote right away? Tehillim, Hey, Davei Divrei Kozov, destroy the words of the deceitful. The first words right away when he says go into the Teva, because we have to destroy the deceitful words. In other words, what? The Mabel was on some of the, yes, we know of all the preachers, but where did that all stem from? It stemmed on a lacking of Kedushas HaPeh.
because of deceitful words, not truthful words. Not truthful words. This led to all the princes of the Dar. The way they spoke, not having Kedushas HaPeh. We have to work on our Kedushas HaPeh. We have to make sure that every word out of our mouth is tahar, is pure, is sincere, is emes. And you'll see it will affect our Kedushas HaBris as well. In fact, we know as well what were the dimensions. We know it, but we can see if we can read it right here. Right, what were the dimensions? When Hashem tells to build the Teva, so what are the dimensions of the Torah? This is awesome. You ready for this? You know this? You already put it together, you saw it. Right? Shlosha meos ama orech. The length is 300 of the Teva. We'll get back to that in a moment. Chamishim ama rochba. Its width is 50 amos. Ushloshim ama komasa. And 30 is its height. So the three dimensions are 300, which is what? Shin. 50, which is nun. And 30, which is lamed. Lamed, shin, nun. Lashon, the tongue. I mean, the Kedusha is only through the tongue. That's how you're going to be saved. In the Mabel that we saw in the Medrash, stemmed from Kazov. And that's why also you go into the Teva. Teva means an ark. What else does Teva mean? As we all know, all the famous Torahs. Teva is a word. You have to speak your words properly and beautifully. That's what's going to protect you. That's what will protect. In fact, not only that, we all have to always try our best to speak, as we're saying tonight, Bikdusha, Vitara. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Gimel, the Gemara in Pesachim in the beginning talks all about it, Lashon Tzaginar, we have Oral Abba Asa, right? I'm sure that a lot of the Chevra learned this already. And where's the Makar? Gimel, Manal, Vamashub, and Levi, Loilam, Al Yoytzi Adam, Davar Maguna, Epiv. Never allow a disgusting word to come out of your mouth. Never allow a word that's not proper and tar. Why? Shari Akum Akas of Shimon Osiot. We know every single letter in the Torah is precious. Every letter is precious, but the Torah has all these extra letters not to be talked in a disgusting way, in a worse way. Shenemar says in our parsha, Mina Behema Torah, from the Tahar animals. It should have said Umina Behema, if you want it to be as straight and as clear and without any extra letters, it should have said Mina Behema Tamea. But it says Minahema Asher Einenu Tahora. From the animals that are tar, such. From the animals, asher einenu tahora. Instead of saying asher tamei, it would have been much quicker. No, we want to speak in a lashon tzagi, not a lashon kedusha, a holy lashon always. Every one of us, we need to speak in a holy way. The Rebbe, Rabbi Spiegel, the Astor Kalashina Rebbe, where the Schus Tadavin, if you ever hear him speak, this is how he speaks. He never says, he won't say a word like tummy. He'll say, it's not tahar. He won't say like, you're bad, it's not good. That's how he speaks. He's trained himself to have this kedushas dika mouth. And when you have a kedushas dika mouth, you'll see you have a kedushas dika shemis abris as well. The tala is ebezeh. Mabel is oisis mreshtevos, mavos, v'chaya, is not in order. Mavos v'chaya, biyad lashem. Mavos v'chaya, death and life. Maves v'chaya, biyad lashon. It's in the hand of what? Our mouth and how we speak. So it comes along in Tehillim. David Melech teaches us. And I'll put this all together. David Melech says, in Kapitel Mamhei, Pasuk Gimel, Yaf yafisum im ne'adam, you're more fair than any man. Hutzak chen b'sifsosecha. Grace, chen, charm. Is what is poured upon your lips. In other words, David Melch teaching us that the foundation of chen, you know where chen comes from? It comes from the lips. It comes from someone that's speaking b'kedusha. Someone who's speaking with dvarim noeh, dvarim full of kedusha, dvarim shal emes, dvarim shal Torah, dvarim shal tefillah. Those are where our tevos are. Those are our words. That's where our pez. That's where chen could come from. That's what the pasuk tells us. So you want to know where the chen of Noach came from, that he saved the world, open up until the Memei. Hutzachem is his. He lived up to these brisos. He lived up to this. And therefore he had chen of Shmir Sapeh, and he had chen of Shmir Sabris, and he didn't fall into the taivas of the world, and he saved the world. That's our avodah as well.
That's our avodah as well. Each and every one of us. To have our dibur, to have our amira in a kaddish different way, the way we speak to each other, what conversation we partake in. There's going to come a day where some of us in this room are going to be in the secular world, in offices, where the most disgusting things are spoken about. If we have an internship, we have to make sure we never let ourselves drop to that. Never. You know, sometimes it's hard with our mouth. It's so hard. Sometimes it's hard also just to know when to close our mouth. Just the biggest kedusha is knowing to keep your mouth closed. Give you a push it. Forget about talking disgusting. We're in shul. And Vadi, each and every one of us in shul, we're ben Torah, we don't want to ever speak anything but words of tefillah in shul. And Vadi, even during Chazar Shashats, and even during laning, and even during these times, we're not talking. We're completely quiet and listening, and we're in a makum kaddish talking to the Eibishter. But unfortunately, sadly, there's some yidden who don't understand this fully yet. And sometimes we're in shul and people will come over. One of the hardest things there is, right? When fine, we would never. But what happens when another yid comes over and starts talking to us? What happens when another yid comes starts talking to us? And the middle of Chazar Sashat, okay, middle of Kedusha, that's not hard already. Middle of Shmona Esrei, that's not hard, right? Middle of Ivade, even Pesukah Zimra, or even in Shema, or Berachos Krishma, not hard. But Chazar Sashat, someone comes over and talks something, you know. To keep our mouth shut and to not say anything back is sometimes very, very difficult. It's not nice. It's not bekavodik. Not nice. What about the Eibishter? What about the Eibishter? We're in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Obviously, you don't have to give the guy musar after anything. You get it. It's very clear. You don't speak. You have to know to keep our mouth shut. And the same would be true. Lo aleinu, if I'm with friends and they're talking about things that are inappropriate, or I'm with colleagues or wherever it might be. I keep my mouth shut completely. If I could leave, obviously I leave that scenario and situation if I can. And if I can't, I keep my mouth shut. The biggest kedusha shel is to keep our mouth shut. To be completely mute at times. In fact, and he told me, I think he said it was from Shur Rubinstein, I think, or I don't know if it was his own. But he said, if you look in also the Ben Bereishis, that Noach brought Nechama. Where did he bring Nechama? Because he created clay macharisha. What does that mean? He created plowing tools. But that's what the Pashup Shad in Rashi is, clay macharisha. What's the Shorish macharisha? Cheresh. What's a cheresh? A mute. That brought Nechama to the world. That brought Chayim to the world. That's where he matza Chayim. Amutzo Chayim b'sef sasecha. Clay macharisha. So I was thinking about all these ideas in the parasha. And Vadi, there's a lot of beautiful Ramazim from Rav Shor to teach us this idea and to bring out this iris. But I'll tell you, the biggest chizik to me and the biggest nister to me is the following. So I'm going through the parasha. I say, you know what? We're going to give this over tonight. And I was very excited to give over such beautiful Torah, this beautiful Ramazim. I said, could we find, this is already remez, could we find some pshat in this? Where do we find, in the psukim itself, where do we find without the Ramazim? Now, again, we all believe in the Ramazim, I don't mean that, but could we find even pshat that Noach had chayin because of the way he spoke, and because of some kedushas apeh, which had an effect on the kedushas abris? Where do we find this in the psukim? So I started going through the parasha, I'm like, let's see how Noach talked. How did he speak? Will we find this at all? Can I find the Raya L'davar in the Psukim? Can I find the Raya L'davar just in Pshat? And Mamish something incredibly ready, Chevra. Mamish incredible. You know what's incredible? Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dor asav. Noach who's matzachem b'nei Hashem. Noach who you go through and Hashem's telling him to build a teva and save the world, and he saves the world. You know what we find completely absent from the whole story of Noach? He doesn't speak one time. It's incredible. If you're not looking for it, in my whole life I never picked up on it. I never even thought about it. I never thought about it. You just don't think about it because he's doing. He's building and he's doing. And we know different chazals and different mefarshim about Noach. But in the psukim, guess what? He doesn't speak. You know why? Because it's kedushas hapeh. He doesn't speak when he doesn't need to speak, and there's nothing to say. And there's nothing negative I'm not going to say. I know how to keep my mouth closed. He had the chain of Sifso Secha. He doesn't speak. He mamish doesn't speak. No bigger remez than that. Just pshat in the psukim. He does speak at the very end.
When does he speak? He doesn't speak the whole story when he's saving the world and all of that. He doesn't speak. He doesn't say a word. Hashem is speaking to him. He doesn't speak. After he falls, when he falls and he gets drunk, as we all know, and we'll talk about this a little later in the 5 minutes, a little what that was all about. But when he falls and he's no longer on that same madriga, he fell. Then he starts speaking and he speaks about his children and starts using his dibur. Only after he falls. But when he's Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorasav, mamish doesn't fall. Mamish doesn't say a word. Can't make this up. So how we have to have kedushas hadibur, how we speak, and realize that will protect our erva as well, and protect our mila as well. And that's why it is. What do we find the pasuk says again at the very end, after the whole story, and the world is saved, and after the world is saved, and everything is good. Right? What do we find? After, right? Later. At the very end of the story of the Mabul. At the very end, before we get into Dor HaFlaga. Vayhi kol ha'aretz safa achas. The whole world is one language. We, again, emphasize the dibur. Udvarim achadim. It's all one. It's all good. In fact, Rashi says, what's the Safa Achas? So Rashi says, Lashon HaKodesh. So we think that means Hebrew, which it does. But it's Lashon HaKodesh, means the holy Lashon, a holy tongue, a holy speech. That's when the world is back to being good again. Safa Achas, it's all good. That's the culmination. And then the world falls again. And what's the emphasis on, again, by Dor HaFlaga? You think all that they're doing, the way we understand the story based on the Mefarshim and is that they're coming to fight against Hashem, but if you read the Psukim, the entire emphasis is on their sifasayim, their lips, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu going and deciding because of this, he has to disperse them. But how do we disperse them? What's the pasuk say? We disperse by Yomar Hashem, Hina, Amecha v'saf v'achaz akulam, v'zeichlam l'asav v'atal lo yibatar mehem kosher yazm l'asav. No longer could they be, have a narrative of l'asham sifasam. We got to disperse their l'asham. Again, tremendous emphasis on speech. In that storyline as well. Incredible. Incredible. Just read the Pesukim. So we want to be and have the Chayin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be B'Sof Sosecha. Chayin B'nei Hashem. If we want to protect ourselves from Taiva, it starts with our mouth. It starts with when we speak. We find we don't need the rise of the psychologists and of that world, but they see it as well. And we see from the Torah, we see from all these Ramazim, that we have to have Kedusha Sapan, we have to speak in a Kaddishtik way. And the first time place to use our mouth is for Torah of Tefillah. So even just thinking about it like that, forget about all the Ramazim and all the Torahs from the Sefer Yetzirah. How could I use my mouth that's learning Torah, that's speaking Tefillah, for anything but words of direct Kedusha? How could I bring myself to do that? Lo aleinu. And that's why if our Safa, our lips, our props, if Sosecha is where the Chayin, Safa is Gematria 385, is exactly Gematria Shechina. The Shechina residing with us is dependent on our Safa, on our lips, and the way that we speak. So Be'ezer Mitzvarach, we should all enter into our Teva in the words that we use with the Lashon of the Midas of the Teva, the proper tongue, and Bizoicha to speak words of Om Kedusha, of Tahara, to speak Lashon Naki, to speak Lashon of Emes, to speak words of Torah and Tefillah. And that's Chus will be Chayin Be'inei Hashem. And that's chus where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Geula to Noach and his children because of this Kedushas HaPeh. So we'll the same way and only be Zoyecha to Geula, Simcha, Bracha, Bias Mashiach, B'mehir, B'yameinu.